we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Wish you a happy new year last week, but happy afternoon, everyone. Hey, if you don't have the flu, you have reason to celebrate, right? The flu has just like swept over our Metroplex. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us few free from the flu. I hope that you're enjoying a limitless new year today. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Redemption Church, how do we describe ourselves? We are a what kind of church? We're a mighty church. When anyone asks you what kind of church is that, they're usually asking for what kind of denomination is that. You just look at them and say that we are a mighty church. That's the answer for it, all right? God is using this mighty church to reach the world, to change the world. We've talked often about places like Kathmandu. Yeah, we've got a clinic in Kathmandu. Yeah, we've got a church that reaches out to prisons and to orphanages in Maikop, Russia. And we've got a church that we're connected with in Cifuentes, Cuba, that is reaching pastors all over the place. They aren't just growing churches. They're growing pastors that grow churches. That's you guys. Amen. I'm talking about you. Tap somebody on the shoulder and says, hey, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. All right, you are part of this mighty church. Can I tell you something? That if you are feeling defeated today, that you are living below what God has for you today. You just need to get out of that right now, because God has called you to be a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You serve a mighty God, and he's got mighty things for you. Somebody say amen if that's true. Amen. God is using you here at Redemption Church to bring the gospel to the whole world. And thank you so much for it. Welcome to all our guests today in the room or on podcasts or social media or Facebook live stream, all of that. All our online viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. And we thank you in advance for sharing this message with someone else. That is always a great help to us. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm super pumped because this is the second week of our Limitless series, and I am here to preach to you today. We're in the second week of the series. Last week we talked about limitless power. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Limitless power. Last week we talked about that. If you missed that, I want to encourage you to find it on our website, redemption-church.com. Go check out that sermon. God has limitless power, and he has placed that power on us. He doesn't just sit in heaven saying, check me out, I've got limitless power. He is giving his limitless power to you, all right? We talked about three New Testament words for power: exousia, dunamis, and kratos. Scripture is clear that Jesus has all exousia, that Jesus has all dunamis, and that Jesus has all kratos. Scripture is clear that he has all of those things, but Scripture also declares that Jesus gives us exousia power. That means authority. He gives his authority to us. And that Jesus gives his dunamis, what? Ability to who? To us. And then that Jesus gives his kratos, his strength, force, and dominion. He gives that to who? He gives it to us. So guess what? Knowing all of this, you ought to have a limitlessly powerful new year. 2018 ought to be limitless for you. You've got all the strength already to overcome all of the devil's schemes, all of the enemy's tactics, all of your depression, all of your fear, over every sickness, over every worry, over everything in the past, over everything in the future, over everything in the present. You've got the power, all right? Amen. You should have limitless power in 2018. Hashtag Limitless 2018. All right. Vicky is not here to disagree with that. Hashtag Y'all are all behind it, so that's great. All right. You should have limitless power in 2018. Today, I want to talk to you about limitless love. Can you say limitless love?
Limitless love.
The world talks about the importance of love. There's a song or two about the importance of love, right? We can think of those things. They come through our heads. We understand that a life without experiencing love is sad. Right, we've got sayings like, you know, it's better to have loved than lost than to have never loved at all. So we all set out in life to experience love. You with me so far? I'm not like off course, right? Y'all understand that. Everybody sets out to be loved. If you are setting out to not be loved, you are living life wrong. And we would all tell you just that. But love seems a wee bit complicated. Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right. You can amen that. You know, if you're looking for something, amen in church. Here, we'll back up. We'll say it again. Love is a wee bit complicated.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. My goodness. And I want to tell you this. We are bad at love. Can you say that phrase with me today? Bad at love. We are bad at love. Advertising agencies try to convince you that you haven't really been loved or communicated your love until you give or receive a high dollar gift like diamonds or a car. You realize this, right? You've seen those commercials. We just made it through the Christmas season where every kid was now an adult looking out and, oh my goodness, there's a car with a bow on it. Now my life is complete. You saw those ridiculous commercials. But that's what the advertising agencies are filling us with. And my goodness, if people didn't pull out a credit card, go into debt because they bought that bill of goods right there. Our society parades celebrity marriages in front of us, don't they? Oh my goodness, they just cram that right down our throat like it's the most important thing. They come up with names for them, like they combine their names and stuff. I mean, you just aren't even important if no one has combined you and your spouse's name. Shan, we got Shan over here. We got Messica. We got all this stuff. It's great. All right, see, we can't pull that off, but man, it's on the cover of People Magazine or Time Magazine. We're like, oh my goodness, we've got to buy that magazine to know the dirt on that marriage, right? Guess what? These marriages rarely last at any time at all. They do not last very long in Hollywood. A decade-long marriage is considered a raving, crazy success by Hollywood standards. I don't know about you, but when people say I do, for better or worse, till death do us part, that ought to be more than 10 years.
Right.
It ought to be the end of your life, right? The world's picture of love is what? A beautiful person looking at another beautiful person, staring focused at each other, and there's string music, and it enters very softly, but then it gets louder. And then there's a big fanfare and a whole orchestra, and it's so huge. And you know what this whole picture's lacking? Children running around smearing feces on the wall. Because that's what marriage is filled with. Right? These pictures are free of distraction. In these moments that you see in the movies and the TV shows, nobody calls and says, yes, this is so-and-so from the billing agency, and we're about to take your house. That doesn't happen in those movies. It's just a beautiful man and a beautiful woman and beautiful music and beautiful dialogue, and that's what love is. And we've got whole generations of people that they want to live out a love scene from a movie. We've been sold a bill of goods. We love the love we celebrate in TVs, movies, music, magazine, books is very limited. Very limited. And it just reveals to us further that we are bad at love. Here are some recent lyrics from a Billboard Top 10 song. The name of this song is Bad at Love by Halsey. I already had groans in the room, all right? Let's listen to the world around us. Here's words. I believe that we're meant to be. But jealousy, 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 jealousy get the best of me. Great grammar. Look, I don't mean to frustrate, but I always make the same mistakes. Yeah, always make the same mistakes because I'm bad at love. But you can't blame me for trying. You know I've been lying, saying you were the one that could finally fix me. Looking at my history, I'm bad at love. So, popular song, I guess, right now. If you don't know, I don't listen to much radio. But I was just cruising around our world on the internet trying to figure out what's going on. This is a popular song. These are lyrics that people are singing as they're driving up and down their car on the roads. The truth is true here that this singer is bad at love. And that the world is bad at love. Can you agree together today that the world is bad at love? The world is bad at love. It's great at divorce, though. Terrific at divorce. The world is bad at love, but it's great at child abuse. Perfect. My goodness, it's just right up there. The world is bad at love, but it is great at self-centered greed and lust and pride. It's got that in spades. The world is bad at love, but it's great at sexual harassment and rape. Perfect at it. The world is bad at love, but it's great at hatred. It's great at murder, but it's bad at love. The world's love is limited. If you're looking to the magazine, if you're looking to the movie, if you are even looking to listening to the lyrics of a song, trying to understand love, let me tell you, you are going to get a limited understanding of what love is. Psychology says that love is all about three things: money, power, and sex. That's what psychologists will tell you. People, you go lay down and talk to these people, and you're like, I've got these problems. Well, no, that's their answer for you. Well, you're looking for love. Well, love is about these three things. It's about money, it's about power, and it's about sex. Is that a limited view about love? Is that limited love?
Yeah.
You bet it is, because if your money is ever lacking, your love is lacking. And if your power is ever lacking, then your love is lacking. If your sex appeal were to, oh my goodness, it would be such a crime for someone to actually age in life. Like, we look at a starlet who used to be in the movies, and we're like, what has happened to Meg Ryan? My God, she's 20 years older than when you saw her. Leave her alone. I didn't get one amen. Amen myself. Y'all leave Meg Ryan alone, all right? If your sex appeal is lacking, guess what? Your love then becomes lacking. Can you help me say the world is bad at love? It's terrible at love. And so guess what? If you're looking at this world for love, it's going to be bad. If you are looking at the latest Cosmopolitan to learn little secrets about love, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. If you need money to impress somebody into loving you, that is headed to a worthless situation. That's a worthless relationship about to happen. Don't do it. The world is bad at love. Don't do it. Young people, don't do it. Don't fall into that trap. We need to understand this, and here is why it's important. If you will take a moment to think about all the ways you have been hurt in life, I am certain that limited love was the cause of the hurt. Someone didn't love you like they should have. Let's reverse it. If you will take a moment to think about all the ways you have hurt others in life, I am certain that limited love was the cause. You didn't love someone like you should have. We are bad at love. I mean, it's one thing for us to say society, Hollywood, the world at large is bad at love. But let's get real about this. You and I, we are bad at love. All the people we've hurt, all the people that we've let down, all the people we said those things about, that we lied about, that we just plain hurt them. We've hurt people in our life for no really good reason. We don't even know why we hurt them. Why did we say that? Why did we do that? Why did we take that? Why did we even do it? Here's the answer. You're bad at love. I'm bad at love. We are bad at love, but God's good at love. God is good at love. You want to know why you need to look to the Word of God, why you need to learn about Jesus, why you need Him in your life, why you need to open up your mind right now. Some of you are in church, but your mind is a million miles away. You wake up, you come right here, you focus right here, because I'm telling you, God is the one person on the face of this whole universe that is good at love. He's good at love. God has limitless love. Every other love I've ever run across is limited, but His love is limitless. You need to understand that God is love. You know this verse, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Read this out loud with us. You ought to know this verse. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is limitless. We understand that. Therefore, His love is limitless. If God is love, then He is limitless love. Love is not something God gives and then doesn't give based on your money, power, or sex appeal. Aren't you glad about it? God doesn't give you love and then say, oh, nope, you didn't put a dollar in the offering. Oh, nope, you didn't get a promotion. Oh, nope, you weren't good during the holiday season and gained 20 pounds. No, He doesn't do those things. God is love. In fact, if He were to stop loving you, He would stop being God. Because love isn't something that He does. Love is something He is. God is love. Do you understand that God cannot stop loving you? He is unlimited in His devotion to you. There are no limits on His love for you and your family. You've been praying for somebody. Can I tell you, the greatest hope in the world is God reaching that person, because God loves that person. He's already reaching them. Before you were praying for them, He was already reaching for them. In fact, you are late to the party. You started praying for them. He's already been reaching for them. He's already been on the scene with His unlimited love. Psalm 136 and 1 says this: give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Can you say those last few words? His love endures forever. His love is limitless. His love endures forever. That phrase, His love endures forever, appears 26 more times in this chapter. Psalm 136, you check it out. I think God wants us to understand He has limitless love for us that endures forever. What do you think? You think I'm interpreting that passage okay? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now you might just yawn at this. Oh, another sermon about how God is love. But you need to wake up, because I was texted on our anonymous text line this last week, somebody trying to get me to explain to them John 3:16 in a predestination sense. Some of y'all don't know what that means. Let me unpack that for you. He was trying to get me, trying to understand how to interpret that scripture without really believing what that scripture says. I texted him and said, I believe that verse at face value, that Jesus Christ loves everybody on the face of the earth. God loves everybody on the face of the earth and gave Jesus, and whoever believes in Him is going to be saved and not perish, that He loves everybody. He goes, the person wrote back to me like, well, I don't see how that can be true. What? You have a limited understanding of love. Therefore, you have a limited understanding of God. And you don't understand why Jesus came at all. You think God is picking and choosing who's going to be saved before the foundation of the earth. I'll choose that guy, but I will not choose this person. And I will send that person to heaven, but I will send that person to hell, just because it's me and I make all the decisions. And that's how I use my sovereignty. Let me tell you, I believe God is sovereign, but I also know that God is love. So He has sovereign love. He's got all power, but He uses that power only in love. So He doesn't use His power in abusive, evil, hateful ways. Wake up. Wake up. I'm talking about Christians that don't understand the love of God. You know what it is? We are bad at love and we don't get it. And so we read our own viewpoints onto Scripture and we still don't understand His love. Do you understand that He loves everybody? You have not met a person He doesn't love. You have not met a person that He wouldn't give His only Son, Jesus Christ, for. You have not met a person that He won't open His arms and embrace them and bring them into His kingdom. You have not met a person that He feels that way against. Nothing is a match for God's limitless love. Not even sin. Oh, sin. I mean, that breaks all the rules, right? Sin? I mean, God doesn't love sinners. What? You better rethink that sentence. I am a testimony that He loves sinners. Look at this verse right here. Romans 5, verse 20. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's Psalm 136. I looked up there. So Romans 5 and 20, there it is. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. All right. So I want to kind of get you a picture of this verse right here. In a visual example, can I have two volunteers? Let's see. I want back here, I want Jacob, I want Brentley. Y'all come up here. By volunteers, I mean that I will pick you out and make you come up. I want volunteers, absolutely. So I want y'all come up here, all right? So we're going to have a jumping competition, all right? Jumping competition, all right? You're going to go second. You get to go first. What? He only weighs 30 pounds, so it's something. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you see this right here? This is the mark right there. And you are to take a double jump, like flat feet, jump as far as you can off this direction. Do not fall off the stage, all right? We're not covered for that on insurance, right? We're not. All right. Let's all root for him. Go, Brentley. Go, that's pretty good. All right, so I'm going to mark your spot. Your spot is right here. All right, now here's what you're going to do. You get to take off from further back. And you can just leap anytime you want at that spot, okay? Go. He went further than you. Sorry, you lost. You lost. Okay, come right here. So, where sin abounds, the length and the distance that sin can jump, grace always jumps further. Do you see that picture? Do you get it? That it doesn't matter. Whatever you've done in your life, you can't jump past His loving grace. Oh, but you don't understand what I've done. No, my friend. You don't understand what He did on the cross. You don't understand what Jesus did for you and His grace that covers you. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's even in the past tense. It has already happened. You have never sinned past His grace. If you feel like your failure affects God's love, you are wrong. Drop that. Drop that bad habit right there. His ability to love you is greater than your ability to sin. You will never be able to get God to stop loving you less or to start loving you more. That's how He is. His love for you is already limitless. What's more unlimited than limitlessness? Nothing. His love is limitless. You don't even understand love like this. John tries to describe it to us in 1 John 4:10. Look at this. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. I want you to understand this. Look at this verse right here. The defining picture of love is not that you love God. Here's the picture of love. I love Him and He loves me. No, that's not even the picture of it. Has nothing to do with how you respond. The greatest example of love has nothing to do with how you worship. The greatest example of love has nothing to do with your ability to abstain from sin. The greatest example of love has nothing to do with how many scriptures you quote or how often you pray. The defining picture of love is not that you love God, but that he loved you and gave his son. It's not what you do, but what he has already done. It's already done. Can you say those words? It's already done. As in, there is nothing you can do to ruin it. Right. It's already done. You are loved. That's what love is. Not that you loved him, but that he loved you and gave his only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:19, nine verses later, says this: we love him because he first loved us. See, it's already done. You can't arrive later and mess it up. The contract's already signed. The decision was already made. I'm going to love them and send my only son for them. He doesn't love us because we worship him, because that would be limited. If God only loved me, Stan, as much as my ability to worship him, I would be worshiping my guts out. But that would be limited love, because I can only worship so much, right? He doesn't love us because we pray. He doesn't love us because we were baptized. He doesn't love us because we go to church. Before you ever tried to love him, he loved you. I remember I was an 8-year-old kid misunderstanding the love of Jesus. I remember coming to pray as a way of earning his love. I remember I figured that going to church, you know, I knew Jesus loved me, but it was probably because I went to church. And, you know, if he loves me now, what, get a load of this. I'm going to put 50 cents in the offering. Then he'll really love me. Heaven, did you see that? I put 2 quarters. I took a quarter back. But still, I gave something. He loves me. Surely. This is what I thought as 8-year-olds. And guess what? There are people today that still think this way about God. Every time I came to pray, it was as a way of earning his love. It was like a brick wall when I would go to pray, though. Because I'm just there trying to earn his love. So I'd come to this altar and it would be like a brick wall. I wouldn't get anywhere. I would go there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I would pray day in and day out, but I would never grow in my relationship with God. And I just, you know, why? Because I was doing it wrong. We're bad at love. I never went anywhere trying to earn his love. If you feel like you are not going anywhere in your relationship with God, can I present that to you, that maybe you're trying to earn his love, that maybe you're trying to buy his love? It does not work that way. But I remember the night, January 24th, 1988, it's coming up. It's going to be 30 years. Are you kidding me? Crazy. 30 years since this night happened. Coming up. I remember the night I went to the altar and something clicked in my mind and in my heart like it never had. They were singing the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Raise your hand if you know that song. You know that song? "Oh, how I love Jesus." See, I heard this song all my life. I knew it back and forward. "Oh, how I love Jesus." I knew the right pitch. I knew the words. I knew this song really well. I liked it. It was about Jesus. It was really cool, especially since it was centered on how much I loved him at the beginning part. It's great. "Oh, how I love Jesus." But on this night, something hit me about this song. Something hit me about these words that never hit me before. "Because he first loved me." Wait a second. I love him because he first loved me. You mean I didn't come on the scene and love him, and then he loved me back, and then I loved him, and then he loved me back, and I loved him, and he loved me back, and we just build this love tower together? No. Before you even understood it, before you were even born, before you even breathed for the first time, before you were ever even came to an altar like this to love him, he already loved Chris Fluitt. I remember shifting from trying to earn his love that night, I remember it so well, to receiving his love and thanking him for his love. And I found limitless love right there that night. I was an 8-year-old kid who didn't love himself, but I felt the love of God just cover my life. That was 30 years later, and I still have not found a limit to that love. There are times, Marshall, you know what I'm talking about. We go to Villaggio, and we break out some "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and I sing that to those people, and I look into their eyes, and I see broken, hurting people that are confused. They're sometimes fearful, and I see the depth of their hurt. But when I'm singing about this love of Jesus, I realize his love reaches way down past that. That's not even a limit to his love. He loves them. And it's beautiful. It just tears me up inside. Can I tell you, you've not found the bottom of his love. You've not found even the halfway point. You've not found a limit at all to his love before you were even around looking for it. He already covered you with his love. The Bible says his banner over me is love. God is so good. He has limitless love. Can you just tell him, thank you, Jesus, for your limitless love? I mean, really. I mean, don't do that because I told you to. Do that because his love is so awesome. God, I thank you for your limitless love. If you have never experienced that love before, I want to pray with you today before today's over. You can absolutely walk into that love today and it will change your life forever. Not only is his love limitless, but God then commands us to love like he loves. Did you know this? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, verse 2, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You are commanded to walk in the way of love. Jesus says this basically in John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So he's telling us right here that here's my love for you. Now take this limitless love and love people with the same limitless love that I've given to you. Do you see that in these verses? Am I making this up? Is it in the Bible? Is it something we ought to be doing? Is it something that this church ought to be all about? Is it something that your family ought to be about? We're commanded to love like God loves. So we need to take the limits off our love. Your love can go further in 2018 than it did in 2017. It can. But it requires you to remove some limits. You need to remove the love limits in your marriage. When you hit a love limit in your marriage, you know what it ends up in? It could end up in divorce. You need to remove the love limits in your family, or there's going to be a separation between you and another person. You need to remove the love limits in your friendships. You need to go further, just like Jesus has always gone further for you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Newspaper columnist and minister George Crane tells of a wife who came to his office full of hatred toward her husband. She said in a very angry voice, "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has ever hurt me." She had hit her love limit and she wanted blood. She wanted revenge. This was probably not a healthy marriage. I'm willing to judge that far, all right? Dr. Crane suggested this. You know what? Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Act. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe you really love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell them at that point that you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. So the woman, with revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful, beautiful, he'll be so surprised. That will really hurt him." And she did it enthusiastically, acting as if for the next few months. For 2 months, she showed him love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, and sharing. When she didn't return, Crane called her. She never came back. So he calls her and says, "Are you ready to go through with the divorce now?" "Divorce," she exclaimed. "Never. I discovered I really do love him." Her actions changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. If you're having trouble with love, maybe you need to change the way you act towards people. Maybe you don't need to just feel love, but you need to give love. You need to act love. And you need to put your love into motion, even if you aren't feeling the emotion. You might be thinking, "But they don't deserve my love." And you're absolutely right. Bravo to you. You're absolutely right. They don't deserve your love. Just like you and I don't deserve God's love. Let your love go beyond the limits of deserving and earning. Do you realize that Jesus, he put motion out there long before we met it with emotion? That he came to earth born in a manger, that he was despised and rejected, that he died on the cross for us long before we gathered here on a Sunday to sing about how much we love him. That's what he did for us, and it draws us in every time. Let that happen in your life. Let that happen in your home. Let that happen in your marriages. There is a love that can heal any hurt. There is a love that can solve any problem. There is a love that can feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and give hope to the hopeless. We need this kind of love today. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where things get real. It is so easy to say we love someone when they're meeting our desire. "Oh, they just got me a brand new car. I love them." Right? "They just gave me a compliment. Oh, I love them so much. They just bought me food. I love them." Right? You follow me? But limitless love remains when people fall short of our desire. There is a love that can stick around even when they say something hurtful. There is a love that can stick around even when the person doesn't stick around. There is a love that can remain through whatever happens. That is a limitless love. And God has called you to have a limitless love. I want to tell you that changing your love will change your life. You want to change your life this year? You're going through all the motions. You're going through the New Year's resolutions. Guess what? Change the way you love, and it will change your life. There is no greater way to change yourself than by changing the level of your love. But I got to remind you, we're bad at love, aren't we? Yeah, we're bad at love. We're not going to be good at this. Let's look at the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. We know that as the love chapter. Whole chapter is about love. Reading of verse 4, it gives us the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We're bad at love. If you don't believe me, then let me ask you, are you patient? Because love is patient. Oh yeah, well that one. Well, are you kind? Are you always kind? You bad at love? Because love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. You have problems with any of those? If you do, then you're bad at love. Love does not dishonor others. Have you ever been dishonoring to anyone? And doing it on the internet does count, y'all. Love's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. You bad at that? Love does not delight in evil. Oh, I'm so glad they got it. They deserved it. Oh, finally, my nemesis, my coworker next in the cubicle next to me that I've been having a secret war with, they got in trouble. Is that you? That's bad at love, y'all. Love instead rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. None of us can say that we're good at love. I'm sorry, if you think you're good at love, I doubt it. I believe there's only one person that has ever walked on the earth that is good at love. It is the God of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, and he is love personified. Amen. We're bad at love. So maybe we should pray about that today. If some of those things I just read about right there, if that hit you as, oh my goodness, I'm not really good at that. Why don't we pray about that today? We need God's love. So how can we have that limitless love? He tells us to love people like he has loved us. So how do we do that? Is there a trick to it? Oh, absolutely. There's a trick to this, y'all. There is a trick to this. If you don't know this, you search life hacks all the time. Let me give you a spiritual life hack right here. You will never be able to do this without the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Where is God's love? It is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. If you are bad at love, then you need the Holy Spirit to pour his love into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Then you know what else the Bible says? It says that the love of God is then shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That he has poured love into our hearts, and then it comes out of us in every direction by the Holy Spirit. So you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. If you are having love problems, you're having a Holy Spirit problem. Any of those problems with bad love right there, it's a Holy Spirit problem. If man and wife aren't loving each other like they should, that's a Holy Spirit problem. No, he won't do the dishes. You shut your mouth. It is not about the dishes. It is not about what she said or he said or any of those things. It is about the Holy Spirit. You know what? There's so much hatred in the world. Oh my goodness, it's the Republicans and the Democrats. No, it is not. It is a love problem. It is a Holy Spirit problem. You churches on every street corner, yet people not filling the love of God. That's churches that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. They got love problems. We going to be a church that has love problems? If we are, then we're a church with a Holy Spirit problem. We need to get a hold of the Holy Spirit. Instead of praying, God, I want you to get that other person, you need to pray, God, pour out your love into my heart, and then let your love be shed abroad on every person in Jesus' name. That person that you got beef with, that you don't even, when you think about them, your blood goes up a little bit, you start to sweat a little bit, you're like, oh my goodness, that last time I talked to them, they said this, I should have said this, and then they would have said this, and then I would have said that, and then they would have said this, and I would have said that. That would have really got them. You have those conversations in your head. That's a Holy Spirit problem. You need to pray for that person. Rather than go down the rabbit trail of all the problems you're having with them, pray the Holy Spirit onto that person. Pray that God would help you to love them like Jesus has loved you. That's limitless love. That's limitless love. I want to take you back to these strange words to a song on the Billboard Top 10 that somebody who will not be named, Kelsey, groaned about. I'm bad at love, but you can't blame me for trying. You knew I'd be lying saying, you are the one. that could finally fix me, looking at my history, I'm bad at love. See, this is, it's kind of an insipid song. It's a dumb song, but when you look at it, I see people trapped right here. They think the next person, yeah, this last one, it was bad, but this next relationship, that's the one, this is the one that's going to fix me. And sure, I had another one night stand at this bar, but tonight I might meet the person that's going to really make me feel what I need to feel, make me understand, make me feel loved. They'll be the one that actually fixes me. Can I tell you something? Only Jesus Christ can fix you. Amen. There is not a love you can find anywhere else. You can't find them anywhere else. I don't care what website you go to, match.com or whatever. I don't care if they're 99.8% great at matching up people. They will not help you find somebody that will fix you. You need the Holy Spirit. That's a Holy Spirit problem. That's a limited love problem inside of yourself. We're about to spend some time talking to God. I'm going to invite you to leave your seat and come forward in just a moment. As we do this, there are three things I want us to focus on, and I want you to focus on them, and I will go very quickly. Here they are. Number one, receive God's limitless love. Receive His limitless love. You need to receive God's limitless love today. Every person in this room needs to. Number one, none of us have ever reached the full depth of His love. Do you agree? So that means you've got further to go today than you've ever gone before. That means that God can do something in your heart that He's never done before today. Allow yourself to receive a greater revelation of His love towards you today. I want you to do that when you come to this altar. Receive God's limitless love. Number two, give God's limitless love today. You're called to love limitlessly. Maybe there is someone you need to forgive. Why don't you pray about forgiving them? Why don't you actually just forgive them today? Why don't you pray about serving other people in a loving way? Maybe you pray, God, Lord, what can I do in my life that would love my community? Maybe this is a total weakness of yours. Repent of it and ask God to teach you how to love limitlessly. You've got these limits. What if you push them back further today? Last, give yourself limitless love. And this one's tricky. This is a curious one, but it's necessary to talk about. There are many Jesus believers who understand that God loves everyone, will forgive everyone, will restore everyone. And while they amen that point, they have trouble loving themselves. You say stuff like, God loves everybody and there's nobody He'll leave behind. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And they're like, amen, amen, that's absolutely true. For them, but not for me. God doesn't love me. They can't forgive themselves. They put limits on the love that they give themselves. They can't allow themselves to be restored because there was a mistake that they made. This is a third one. And I have a feeling that there's more than one person in this house that this is where you are. That you are pretty good at loving other people. Pretty good at understanding that the concept that God loves. But not good at allowing yourself to be loved. God doesn't want that for you. He does not want that for you. There is something wrong if you can forgive others but can't forgive yourself. I want you to love yourself today. I don't know which one of these hit you in the heart, but I believe God is hitting us all in the heart right now. Why don't you come? Why don't you come talk to Him? If you want somebody to pray with you, I want you to just come into the first 2 feet of this altar. We want to pray with you. There's maybe you're in this place. I've never really come in contact with this limitless love that you're talking about, Chris. Come in the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. Maybe there's somebody you just have trouble forgiving. Come right now in the first 2 feet. Maybe it's just something totally different. You just have a miracle that you need in your life. Come on, come into the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. We want to see God's limitless love just flow into you. We want to see that love that comes from the Holy Spirit be poured into your heart and then be poured out from your heart onto other people. Come on, let's talk to him in this place. He loves you with a limitless love. With an unlimited love, he loves you. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for every person in this house. I thank you, God, that you love us. I thank you that you've never given up on us. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that we have your love in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your name, help us to receive that love. Lord, convict our hearts, Lord, so that we would give that love, God. Lord, and forgive us. Lord, help us, Lord, to love ourselves, God. Lord, it is not right for you to love us and for us to despise ourselves. Lord, work in this church. Let this church be filled with love.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.